the Phoenix Suns are on their way to the NBA World Championship.
The 1993 NBA Western Conference Champions.
And that forward from Auburn, number 34, Charles Barkley.
We knew we had a superstar.
Johnson with Barkley. Barkley joined Phoenix with that one.
So we just happened to run into, you know, one of the greatest players ever.
Here's Jordan for three. Yes.
All the hoopla, all the hype around these two megastars colliding for a world championship.
We took them to the limits as far as we can go.
Jordan against Barley. Turns and faces Barley. Jordan with a little fake. Another fake. Now he comes to his left. Here's the 14-footer. Good. What did I say? 14 feet away, it's like a layup.
I mean, I played against him a lot in the regular season, and he was really, really, really good. But in the playoffs, I've never seen or known a man who got that much better. That's why he's MJ.
Barkley was hell-bent on bringing the first championship to the Phoenix Suns. It's just unfortunate that he had to go up against the baddest man and ever wear a pair of high tops.
That's probably the biggest regret of my career, not being able to bring Phoenix the world championship.
The year was 1992. I was 6 years old and in the first grade. Up until that point, my world was dominated by the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Batman. That's all I would watch. Even dressing up like Batman all the time. Every time my father would go on a business trip out of the state, which was often, he would vow to always bring back a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles figure, action figure. And he always came through. I had the biggest collection of anybody that I knew. We had a basketball hoop, and from the time I was a little boy, I would watch my dad play in the church basketball leagues, and I would shoot at home with him every once in a while, but it was nothing but a game, a fun thing to do every once in a while. That is until the 1992-93 Phoenix Suns captured my imagination. The forefront of that was number 34, 6'6", forward from Auburn, number 34, Charles Barkley. The imagination of my small 6-year-old brain was captivated. We watched every single game that season. I remember going to my T-ball games, my Little League games, and wanting to know the score of the basketball game, especially in the playoffs. For my 7th birthday in April 18th, it was one of the final games of the regular season. And for the first time in my life, I was able to go to America West Arena and watch my idol, Charles Barkley and the Phoenix Suns, who had taken the league by storm. Had a franchise record 62 wins and only 20 losses. They had the NBA's most valuable player, and they were destined to be the team that would knock off the back-to-back champion Chicago Bulls. Much to my disappointment, Charles Barkley had injured his elbow. And out of an abundance of caution, since the Suns had already clinched the first seed in the Western Conference playoffs and wanting to give their star a much needed break going into the playoffs, Charles Barkley did not dress out and did not play. I was crushed, but still going into what was known as the Purple Palace with my dad, 7 years old, getting to feel the emotions of that team that I had watched all season long on the TV, to be in that environment, to be in that arena, to feel the crowd, to hear the noise, it was a sensory overload for my small brain. And when the Phoenix Suns went on to have an amazing playoff run that culminated in their just second NBA Finals appearance in their history at that point of 25 years, I watched every single minute of every single game as Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls went on to three-peat, to win three championships in a row. On that Sunday afternoon, I sat in my small little recliner that my grandparents had bought for me and watched as John Paxson of the Bulls hit the game-winning, which ended up being the game-winning three, and Kevin Johnson having one more shot to win the game was blocked clean by Horace Grant, and the Bulls celebrated their third championship in as many years on the home team's floor in the America West Arena.
It's the Suns and the Chicago Bulls in Game 6.
Place is freaking going nuts and rocking. We just, you know, staved off elimination in Chicago.
And the Suns are going to win the ball game. The Suns are still alive. There'll be no three-peat tonight.
Hey, go take some of that wood down. There won't be no ride to this building.
We bring it home. Place is going crazy. We get Game 6 and Game 7 at home. We're going to win the NBA championship.
Molly for three. Yes! And Jordan is able to go the distance.
Worst thing that can happen.
The Suns by two. It has come down to this possession.
Call a timeout, no threes.
Yeah, it was with no threes in the timeout. No, they're not. Because the threes only can compete. It's anything else is tied.
He knew it was going to be in Michael's hands. He knew Michael was going to, you know, take the shot or, you know, get double teamed. He's going to find the open guy.
They want Michael to get a full head of steam, try to keep him in the middle of the floor.
Pippen has the ball, I believe, coming down the floor. We close out on him. I think Charles tried to make a steal, and the guy got open, and so here comes Pippen down the floor. So we're starting to rotate.
They always had a guy out there, whether it was a Steve Kerr, whether it was a John Paxson. They always had that one guy that you needed to stay on because he was going to knock down shots.
One of the most selfless players that I'd ever played with is John Paxson. He was injured throughout the early half of that season and lost his starting job to B.J. Armstrong, found the ball in his hands with a chance to make the biggest shot of the year.
So when he came and dished that ball out to Paxson to shoot that ball, I just rewound all of that whole season and was like, wow, we're going to end it with this.
Grant didn't want to shoot the ball, and Grant gave up the ball, and Paxson had a chance to get his feet in rhythm, and when I saw the ball go to him, my thought was, oh no.
I'm like, no, I mean, no.
Here's Paxson for three. Yes, the Bulls take a one-point lead, and Phoenix calls for time.
I think back on that shot of Paxson's. It seemed like I was watching that shot. It seemed like it took about an hour to get to the basket.
When Paxson catches the ball, I'm underneath the basket, and I'm literally got my hands on my head because I'm like, how did this happen?
And every second of the flight path, I remember thinking, I really hope he misses, but dang, that looks good. It looks like it's going in. Nah, it wouldn't go in.
And I know it's going in. I'm perfect, and I know it's going in.
God
Paxson converts a three-pointer in Chicago 99 and Phoenix 98.
I remember as Paxson runs back to the bench, and I'm the first one to greet him coming off the bench. I'm halfway onto the floor. I pick him up in a big bear hug and lift him up over my head, and everyone's slapping him on the shoulders and on the head and congratulating him. But we realize that we're only up one, and they got Charles Barkley, Dan Marley, and Kevin Johnson. We got to finish this deal.
Oliver Miller plays it. Here's Johnson. Johnson gets, no, he could not get it off. Knocked away by Grant. It's all over. The Chicago Bulls have made it three straight NBA championships.
That shot hurt us so much that we didn't have enough confidence coming out of that timeout to do what we needed to do, which was probably get the ball to Charles and try to make another miracle happen.
We were right there to where we could control this series, and one, you know, mishap against, you know, Michael and Paxson, who, you know, he wasn't going to miss that shot. It was heartbreaking, no question about it.
I literally think about it once a week to this day.
It was agony watching it, and it's agony even thinking about it.
I mean, how many times do you have a chance at winning a championship, winning the ring? For me, you know, obviously I'm played for the Suns, been here, still live here. I think we had the better team. We just didn't win.
You have a season that you have, the pinnacle of your career, the greatest season, and it's over like that. Unbelievable.
But I had high hopes and expectations that with that team, which was really a good team that we had put together, that over the next few years we could win a few championships, and it didn't happen.
You know, it never stops hurting when you lose. You hate those missed opportunities, but that's sports.
Just 7 years old, I sat in that recliner, crushed, in shock, because as a child of that age and being captivated the way that I was, there was absolutely no doubt in my mind that Charles Barkley and the Phoenix Suns would win the NBA championship. And I still remember that moment. I literally cried uncontrollably. To me, my whole world was over. That's what it felt like. But despite that letdown, that team and that player, Charles Barkley, set my life on a course that would never have happened without that magical season. For the next 10 years, 11 years, I rode every up and every down with the Suns through different coaches, different players, different teams. It gave me a love for the game of basketball that went beyond just a game. I devoted long, long hours from a young age out on my basketball court, shooting jump shots from the time that I woke up after school, or before school, after school, and until the sun went completely down every night. In those days, in the mid-90s, late-90s, there was, in the town that I grew up in, the first chance to play organized basketball was the fifth grade. So I had to suffer through a few seasons of soccer that I did not enjoy. Finally, when I was able to finally play in organized basketball in the fifth grade, I dominated, because most kids my age did not put in near the amount of time and effort that I had. I continued through fifth and sixth grade, making the all-star team, winning a championship in the junior league against all of the area, different area leagues in Graham and Greenlee counties. Propelled me into junior high in seventh and eighth grade, where my team won back-to-back championships against the same players, same teams. I went into my freshman year of basketball and was always the leading scorer on my team, usually the best player on my team. My sophomore year, I hit a career high of 47 points in one game, going 8 for 8 from the three-point line, 13 for 15 from the free throw line, and only missing two-point field goals the entire game. I started as a junior on the varsity team and hit some major shots in the biggest games, having the packed crowd scream when I would hit a three-pointer. It altered the course of my life. And the game of basketball was not just a game for me. Growing up and going into my high school years, when I had experienced some loss, some traumatic events, losing two close friends and my grandmother all in the same week. Out on my basketball court late at night, shooting jump shot after jump shot was my solace. It was my escape. It was my therapy. It was my life. And I was good enough to receive a scholarship offer to play at a four-year university in Iowa, with which I signed a letter of intent. And if you follow this podcast, you know that I ended up rescinding that scholarship, that letter of intent, and ended up joining the military and went to combat and all of that. So I didn't end up playing college basketball. And after my last game of my senior year, I didn't pick up a basketball for at least 10 years. When I went to the Army, the Suns had a new crop of championship caliber teams. And in the 2007 playoffs, I was unable to watch because I was in basic training. Their epic series against the Lakers and the Spurs and all of that. And then in 2009, 2010, when they made another run and ended up losing to the Kobe Bryant-led Los Angeles Lakers, I was in Afghanistan, and so I was not able to watch that, but I followed it very closely. And then after that, they went on a 11-year drought of horrible teams, horrible ownership, just completely lost what it meant to be the Phoenix Suns. And without children of my own at the time, losing interest in the NBA in general because of the way that I believe the game at that level changed and it just wasn't the same as the 90s of those amazing players and teams that made up the 92 Olympic team, the Dream Team. Just wasn't the same, and it was getting worse. But a lot of it had to do with the Suns being horrible. Still went to games, I still watched every once in a while, but it was just not the same. That is until this year. The Suns are now one win away from just their third NBA Finals appearance, and they seem destined to finally have a clear path to an NBA championship. I hope this sets the tone for the next 10 years, having a son of my own who loves basketball. I have picked up that passion again, buying an arena level basketball hoop at my house for my son and for me to rekindle that passion and play. It's been amazing. It's been great. I'm in full nostalgia mode. And so in honor of the Phoenix Suns, I wanted to share some of the best moments of that experience of growing up watching and riding or dying with the Phoenix Suns. So I hope you enjoy this. There'll be several clips of what it is when the Suns' 50-year anniversary in 2018, they came out with a pretty great series of short videos, and I have made those into audio files to play them and then to talk about specific moments in the history of the Suns and what it was like growing up with that always permeating and always dominating every facet of my life. So enjoy. This is a special edition of the Come This Far podcast with Chris Taylor, sharing my love of the Phoenix Suns.
From the original Suns' first bucket to Booker's masterpiece at the Garden.
And a historic night for the Suns' Devin Booker,
no doubt.
70 points.
The Phoenix Suns have grown up with the Valley of the Sun, weaving a half-century tapestry of memories that will forever intertwine our state and team.
When I see this valley where it was, where it is now, I think the Phoenix Suns have been crucial in its development, Phoenix to become the city it is. It's undeniable the role that was played by the Phoenix Suns in helping Phoenix grow up.
Across the years, we've seen countless thrills.
Wilson the corner, it's blocked by Hurd, and the Suns win it! The Suns win it! The Suns win the ball game!
There it is, it's over, the Suns win! The Suns win! They're the Western Conference champions, and they move on to play the defending world champion Chicago Bulls for all the marbles.
There's been so many highs, been so many great moments in 50 years.
Look out, hello! Amari Stoudemire elevates and detonates.
And more than our share of heartbreak hotels.
No! Ron Artest is passing for three. Yes, the Bulls take a one-point lead. The Chicago Bulls have made it three straight NBA championships.
Through it all, because of it all, a love affair blossomed. The fans of this city and great state have never wavered, and that love has been not just appreciated, but reciprocated.
When I was drafted in 75, I was already had plans that summer to be married, and it began a lifelong love affair with Phoenix and the Phoenix Suns. There's not a week that goes by that somebody doesn't stop me on the street and go, I was there the day you were drafted. I was there during the 76 playoffs. Or I came to yours and Paul's camp as a kid.
I'm happy and honored to be a part of the Phoenix Suns history. The Suns have been really good to me, and I love coming back.
Jerry gave me a chance by picking me. I worked hard to develop, to show him that he didn't make the wrong decision, and then end up being used to trade to make the team even better.
You know, one of the things that turned this organization or this franchise around, everyone talks about, you know, the trade was a part of it, but it was just a piece of it, because in that trade, you end up getting Dan Majerle.
This is where I grew up as a man, so Phoenix Suns will always be near and dear in my heart.
And then Tom Chambers, because he was the first, you know, unrestricted, you know, free agent to sign at that level.
For me, the best decision I ever made as a professional
obviously was coming here to the Valley, and it was a big decision. I chose to come here and start over, start anew, and start fresh. And I believed in what we were going to do. And, you know, the biggest turnaround in NBA, you know, history at the time.
At the time, one of the largest turnaround in the history of the sport. And the great thing about it is we won, we had fun together, we played hard, and it's what Cotton basically said. If you do a few things together collectively, you're going to have good results.
KJ to the baseline, shooter, get it!
Oh, what a shot!
And he's fouled!
And then all the awards come. You know, everybody on our team got some award for something. And again, it was one of the beginnings of really changing the trajectory of this franchise. And I think we're all very proud of that.
So everything kind of came to fruition here. You know, I had my best years in the Valley. We went to the finals. We had some tremendous teams. It's amazing to think, you know, that me deciding to come here would have that much of an impact on my whole life.
Well, I'm proud of it. I played in the 80s, I played in the 90s, and I played in the 2000s. I mean, I don't think everybody else has done that. I came here in 1988, in the tweed jacket, had no idea what I was doing. And haven't left since.
The fans were probably the most amazing part, because from game one, this place was raucous.
This is where I learned what it meant to win. And I was very thankful for my time in Phoenix and wish it was longer, but being able to learn and to work and also have fun. And I will always treasure that.
Extremely lucky, and I know that. I don't have any qualms about it. I mean, different guys could have done it, but they didn't, and I did. You know, I'm the one that was there. You know, I still have regrets. I think life, you have regrets. I wish I'd have done this, wish we'd have done that. But you know what? I wouldn't change it for the world. If they said, well, you can't have this without that, I'll take that. I'll take what we had.
Really, I played the most games in my career for the Suns. I had the most success in my best years for the Suns. I played on my best teams with the Suns and developed the most as a player and a person.
So congratulations, 2004-2005 NBA MVP Steve Nash.
My children were born in Phoenix. It's home in many ways as far as a basketball player, and will always feel like home in my life as well.
Having a team here in Phoenix in the Valley of the Sun, saying being here from ground up, watching the history, the Hawk, all the old Suns, man, it makes you really appreciate and to see where they came from to here.
When I was growing up watching, KJ and Thunder Dan and Charles and those guys play against the Bulls and Jordan and those guys, and then I arrive and Steve is here and Sean and the guys like that are playing. When you look at a franchise and you look at the success of a franchise, you look at the ones that came before, look at the legends, look at the guys that are still around.
We can't overlook the fact that we've had a great run as a franchise for all of these 50 years. But I trade a lot of that for one or two championships. There's a lot in front of us. And I know that championship has to be out there soon. Just has to be.
My biggest regret of my career is not being able to bring Phoenix a championship.
And there's no bigger fan than I am, and I want them to get back and someday win a championship.
This is probably one of the few cities that needed a basketball championship more than anything, and I wanted to give it to them, and I wasn't able to do it, and that really hurts me.
As we look back on 50 years of professional basketball in Phoenix, we celebrate those who have brought to life excitement and drama beyond what we could have imagined. These iconic players helped shape our childhood, creating indelible memories through generations of fans.
Here comes Marley, he jams it at the buzzer, and the Suns win, the Suns win, the Suns win the ball game.
Throughout the 50 years, we were able to establish a fan base that's second to none.
And I love when I meet somebody who was here then, says, I remember those days. To have been there and be a part of it, see the continuing saga of what's next, it means something. You know, it means a lot to have been a part of it and to know a few things and be able to share it. It's a real privilege, and it's just been a great ride and looking forward to what's next.
You know, I had a press conference there the other day, and I saw Jackie, and I saw Al, and I saw all the security guards that were there. I see you guys, I see cameraman that, Grapp, who's been there forever. Those are relationships I've had for so long that I'll remember forever. And that's what makes the Phoenix Suns special.
I tell people I can live anywhere in the world I want to. I live in Phoenix for a reason. And when I die, they're gonna bury my ashes somewhere in Phoenix, hopefully near a casino.
The next wave of great Suns knows their time is now and is more than ready to carry the torch. So here's to at least another 50 years of city and team, player and fan, continuing to grow together in their love of Phoenix Suns basketball.
I'll never forget when we walked off the floor after losing to Portland. Lionel Hollins said to me, we need a Barkley on this team.
Lionel made the comment, what we need is another Charles Barkley to make this team go to another level. And Cotton Fitzsimmons was certainly aware of that.
Last evening, I felt there was a real opportunity, and we were primed this morning to make the deal. We want to deliver a championship. This is the big time move, bringing the Charles Barkley to Phoenix.
I'm not going to sit here and guarantee us a championship, but I think we got a shot at it, and that's all anybody can ask.
We were very successful, winning over 50 games every year in the playoffs, this close from getting over the hump.
You know, coming out here to the Valley, everybody's like, I can't believe they went and got him, they went and got him. I'm like, you know what, he'll be fine here. The fans will embrace him. It'll be good.
All right, what do you think about this basketball team right now?
Look at it on paper, it's really good. I think I'm really excited for the chance to play with KJ and Dan Marley.
We had to do something, and to do that, we knew we had to get a superstar. And we had superstars, but we needed somebody to kind of change the game, and Charles was that guy.
When the word came down that a trade was being made with Philadelphia, everybody was ecstatic that it was going to be Charles Barkley, but who were the Suns going to have to give up? And we all know Jeff Hornacek was a very popular player here at that time.
Out it comes to Hornacek, a 22-footer. Yes, indeed!
Any trade is controversial among fans, and this was until you just had to sit back and say, yeah, but Charles Barkley, it turned out to be fantastic.
I never played on a team with two other All-Stars before.
The buzz started, I mean, when him walking through the airport, the deal going down.
Arizona, for whatever the persona of Arizona, the Western outpost, the Wild West, you know, whatever there was, the John Wayne spirit of Arizona, said, that's our guy. And, you know, they loved him from the second he got off the plane.
And we gave up one of our more popular players in Jeff Hornacek, Tim Perry, Andrew Lang in that trade. And then Charles came in and was all pro his first year.
We gave up a lot, but we got Charles. We were never disappointed.
Puts up a long shot, it scores it! He scores it! A 20-footer by Barkley is good. Unbelievable shot.
We don't anticipate any problems with Charles Barkley. We think we know who he is as a person.
Lionel says, we better go get us a Charles Barkley. Well, Lionel, we got Charles Barkley.
I am a member of the Phoenix Suns, and I am happy. I think for me, a change was needed.
He needed a new situation, and he got it. And he's going where he wanted to go. This is by his choice. He wanted Phoenix.
I think this is a great opportunity for me. I want to thank Mr. Colangelo, Cotton, Coach Westfall. Got to get used to saying that.
He gave that team and this city and this state exactly what, you know, exactly a perfect fit for the time.
And this year, you've had a season, I guess you would say, that if you were looking for what an MVP season is, your season this year is a role model for an MVP season.
The night he is going to win the MVP, okay, we go to my bar. It was confirmed that Charles is going to win the MVP. So I got on the mic, I stand on the bar, get the mic, and I announce that Charles Barkley, before anybody even knows it, has just won the MVP of the league. And the place goes nuts, and we do a little spotlight on Charles, and drinks all around. Just one of those, you know, iconic nights that a kid from Traverse City, Michigan, now he's standing on his own bar announcing his teammate, who's the MVP of the whole NBA. It's pretty cool when you think about it.
But from day one here, they embraced me. They treated me great. One of the reasons I still live here today is because the fans were fantastic to me.
Up to Miguel Knight. Fast break Suns to Barkley. Right up on the hand and score. Nice execution off the break by the Suns.
Barkley was a dominant player. Extremely dominant in the post area. He was one of the best and most talented players that's ever played the game of basketball in this history.
Charles had this, you know, magnetism about him, and he was very confident. Who wouldn't want to play with a guy like Charles? He wasn't going to lose. I mean, he would take everybody on his back and say, I'm going to get you the promised land.
Barkley is Barkley. I don't think he's 6'3". He was just one of those rare players that size didn't matter. It was just determination.
Rebound Barkley. He battles. He shoots. He scores. Sir Charles.
I mean, he would take on Goliath. I mean, he was just had that bravado about him. Sir Charles, he was unbelievable what he accomplished for his size.
Charles Barkley is probably one of the greatest power forwards of all time, for sure, because of his skill set. He was still able to dominate inside the paint. His rebounding is second to none. I mean, this guy was just a beast on the boards. To be only 6'7 or so and be able to snag 20 rebounds, and you know, on a nightly basis, seemed like was incredible.
Charles was a different kind of competitor. He wanted to destroy you. I mean, he was a fun guy, and he was super off the floor, a great guy to be around, but such a competitor on the floor, and there was nothing that he couldn't do on the basketball court.
Here's the lob for Barkley, goes up and jams! Oh, beautiful alley-oop for Sir Charles!
He could get on the roll when the team's down, and he can create a 10-0 run by himself.
And we knew we had a superstar. And not only a superstar, we had a person who could sway the officials one way or the other by his aggressiveness, by his physicality, and that was unheard of besides Karl Malone in the Western Conference.
He was so genuine, he'd give you the shirt off his back. Great teammate, cared about winning more than anybody I've ever played with as far as when the game started, hated to practice, was the worst practice player in the world.
He was the best basketball player I'd ever played with. I'm not saying he's the best basketball player ever, but the one I played with, he was the best basketball player I'd ever played with.
And I would have to really think long and hard to think of any player that played an entire season that year or any other year with more determination to win than Charles Barkley.
Barkley dish off to Sabamos, back to Barkley, and a nice give and go. Barkley goes in for the jam.
He'd always believed in himself, but I think that for him to win the MVP over Michael Jordan is something that legitimized his career in a way that probably more so than anything else. And he was that good. I mean, he was good enough to win an MVP over Michael Jordan. He was good enough to outplay probably the greatest power forward of all time, Karl Malone, whenever they played against each other that year.
For me, that year, we had the best player in the league. Charles was the best player. He was MVP. But above and beyond that, he was the best player in the league that year.
You led your team in assists. You led them in rebounds. You led them in points. And you led them to the best record in the NBA. The fans here and around America join me in congratulating you, Charles Barkley, the 1992-93 National Basketball Association Most Valuable Player. Congratulations.
He had a year for the ages. Have a front row seat to it and have my seatbelt buckled up and go for the ride along with Charles that year. It was one of the great joys of my life.
Miller waiting, looking, it comes to Marley, a long three.
He got it! He got it! He got it! The Suns win! The Suns win! The Suns win!
The Suns win! And the Suns win the game!
We run this play, a great play, and I catch it and I just turn and I'm 45, 50 feet, whatever, and I just let it go. And I knew it was in as soon as I shot it. It was trade on line, so that's going in. And it went in, and I just lost my mind.
Final score, Suns 115, Lakers 114.
It just showed the emotion, the true emotion of a player, and sometimes we forget about that. He hit the three, and he was loved by the crowd. He just came up over the press table, and he's up in the crowd. Everybody's hugging him. He's hugging everybody.
I had no intention to go into the crowd, so I jumped up on the scoring table because I'm just so happy, and I hit a piece of paper. So instead of falling, I had to continue to go, and I went right into the crowd. And then, surrounded by everybody, and then I got out, and I did a couple laps.
And it was once in a lifetime, but only the Thunder Dan Marley.
Yeah, that's the happiest I've ever been. Just, it was just the cap of such a great regular season to be able to end it like that in front of the home crowd and just to celebrate with everybody.
Dan Marley hits the three, and the Suns win the game.
They're going wild,
Adam. They're going wild. The Suns have won the ball game. Dan Marley hit a three-pointer at the buzzer, and the Suns have won. And they're going bananas at America West Arena. Go, brother!
So on what I hope to be one of the most memorable days in Phoenix Suns history, June 28th, 2021, happens to be my seventh wedding anniversary with my wonderful wife, Sarah. The Suns have the chance to win the Western Conference Finals for the first time since 1993, and only the third time in their 53-year history. My biggest hope, whether or not the Suns finally win the championship this year, is that over the next decade or longer, the Suns will be relevant. The Suns will be at the top of the league so that my son and my daughter can have a new generation of Phoenix Suns teams to capture their imaginations like the 92-93 team did when I was 6 years old. My daughter will be six this July. My son is 2.5. And I, regardless of if the Suns win the championship or if they fall completely down again, I will keep that tradition alive and take my kids to the Phoenix Suns games to watch them on TV. It's been really amazing this last year to have the Suns with this team make this run. My name, my full name is Christopher Paul Taylor. I never go by Christopher. It doesn't seem right to say my name is Chris Paul Taylor. It just doesn't flow like Christopher Paul Taylor does. But now that Chris Paul has the chance to be immortalized in Phoenix Suns history, if he takes this team to the NBA Finals and hopefully to a championship win, I will no longer feel like Chris Paul Taylor won't go good. So hope you enjoyed this little stroll down memory lane. I'm looking forward to the game tonight. It's in about 3 hours, tip off. Good luck to the Phoenix Suns, and thank you for all the memories. Thank you for putting together a championship caliber team once again. It really means a lot to me. It means a lot to hundreds of thousands of fans across the state of Arizona, and we are all riding with the team, with the Suns, win or lose, this is the best fan base in the NBA. Thanks for listening to this special bonus episode of the Come This Far podcast with Chris Taylor. We'll be back with some more episodes very, very soon. Thank you so much.